talking about the Iran war. I got some interesting views to share. But I want to talk about what happened yesterday, because the headline is Israel literally bombs the negotiator that was working with J.D. Vance. So J.D. Vance is supposed to be negotiating with this ex-foreign minister, Karzai. And just like multiple other times in the very recent past, Israel has killed the person that we are expecting to use as an off-ramp to get a ceasefire and peace out of this. So I want to go to clip number 47 here. This is the actual guy. This is Karzai, the ex-foreign minister, obviously before he was targeted by Israel. He's been wounded. He wasn't killed. His wife was killed. They targeted his home. He was the guy J.D. Vance was talking to. I don't know if he's able to talk anymore. Here he was answering questions early on in the conflict.
Supreme leader, what does that mean for your military effort and the confrontation with the United States and Israel?
That means the system is quite functioning.
So the United States says it's drastically degraded the Iranian military, the capabilities as far as missiles is concerned, drones is concerned. How much longer can you do this?
That is one of the false narratives that the United States government is producing. Iranian military is quite strong, as you see, because they have the motivation, they have the arms that they need, which are produced in Iran. As a matter of fact, we are not dependent on any other country for weapons and arms.
So your side is ready for a long war if the United States and Israel choose that. Do you consider this an existential threat to the Islamic Republic?
It is an existential threat to the Islamic Republic, and therefore we have to stay with full might, as we are doing now.
Is your side seeking, or will you seek, a ceasefire with the United States at this point in time, and with Israel?
I don't see any room for diplomacy anymore, because Donald Trump has been deceiving others and not keeping with his promises. And we experienced this in two times of negotiations, that while we were engaged in negotiation, they struck us.
How does all of this end, then? If you say right now there's no room for negotiation, President Trump says he wants complete surrender, what does that lead to?
There's no room unless the economic pressure would be built up to the extent that other countries would intervene to guarantee this termination of aggression of Americans and Israelis against Iran.
Finally, what is your message to President Trump as we sit here, as the war is going on?
That means that what is important for us is the end of this game. And we are ready to continue that game.
The end of this game, you mean how this war will end?
The end of the game would be the time that American and Israelis would come to this understanding that this strategy is not working. And they have to stop their aggressions against Iranians.
Or they can just keep killing everybody everywhere. Iran ex-foreign minister Karzai gravely wounded in attack on his home. Exactly like Joe Kent said. Let's go to clip number one here.
Trump even said it today when he was at the plane side. He was asked, who are you talking with inside of Iran? And he said, I don't want to name them because then they might get killed.
Mr. President, again, I don't want them to be killed.
Well, they might get killed by the Israelis, because the Israelis don't want us to have negotiations.
Essentially, you're saying we just need to tell them no.
And not just tell them no, you have to take things away from them. You're going to run any strikes by us, and also, you're not going on the offense anymore. You're done being on the offense. If you're attacked, we'll back you up. What takes place now in Iran, that affects us, that affects the GCC, that affects the Straits of Hormuz and world energy. You're done.
We don't have a problem doing that.
They created the conditions for the war. They forced us to start the war, and now they're systematically eliminating our ability to ever stop the war. That's who we're really at war with. They're just using Iran like they're using us.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I know. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
In Iran because he's afraid that they'll be killed. And everyone knows he's talking about they'll be killed by the Israelis because the Israelis have been killing the moderates and killing the negotiators. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know.
There you go, folks. Tells you everything you need to know about who wants this war, who doesn't, why we're still in it, where it goes from here. Again, Israel got us into the war, and now they're preventing us from getting out. That's what's happening. They're using Iran like they're using America. Okay? They don't want us to get peace. They don't want us to get a ceasefire. And this, again, just has to, I mean, you have to wonder what's happening in Trump's mind. What's happening, you know, how does he interpret all of this? Because time and time again, he is being humiliated by Israel. And this has become a quagmire because of Israel. This is like the 10th time Israel has done this. You know that? We had somebody that we thought was going to take over. That's what that whole 48-hour turnaround was about. It may have worked. It may actually have succeeded. We were in contact with somebody that was like, I got all the people in place. I can take over. You just need to take out the top guys. We take out the top guys. They slot into those leadership positions, call a ceasefire. Like, that actually might have worked if the Israelis didn't kill the guy. So then we do it again. And we find somebody else, they kill him. And we find somebody else, they kill him. They don't want Iran to be a functioning country. Again, this is tomorrow's news today. I just can't reemphasize that enough. We actually are tomorrow's news today, and this was the obvious interpretation the moment that the war started. And I told you the moment that the war started that this would be the outcome, that this is the only possible outcome, is that Israel, and because Israel, through America, they want Iran to be a failed state. How many times have I said it? They want a Syria 2.0. They want a completely destroyed, sort of stateless region where various armed factions can war against each other forever, with the ultimate upshot being that they have no ability to project power outside of their own borders, meaning that America or Israel could bomb them at will whenever they want, and they would have no capacity to respond. That's how Gaza was. That's how Lebanon is. That's how Syria is. That's how Iraq was for a while. I mean, you have this week Israel bombing Damascus. They bombed Damascus. Maybe there'd be a response from the Syrian army, but of course not. Because A, they don't have the capability to respond. B, we put a puppet in place. That's the ultimate goal. You want to know what the goal for Iran is? Just look at Syria. Look at the pogroms against Christians. Look at the attacks on the Druze. Look at the way that the literal head-chopping terrorist is being feted, being celebrated and honored in Europe right now. Literally rolling out the red carpet for him. And of course, Israel mandates death penalty for West Bank Palestinians who kill in terrorist acts, i.e. defend themselves against the actual terrorist attacks. All right, there's just, again, so much when it comes to the Iran war, but we got to get through some of it. But some of it's very interesting, I have to say. So, Iran ex-foreign minister Karazi gravely wounded in an attack on his home. Kamal Karazi has been seriously wounded in an apparent assassination attempt that killed his wife. The United States, as United States and Israel strikes continue to pound Iran, they reported that his home was targeted the previous day in an airstrike. So, again, it's like, do we not just play the video of him being like, negotiations are a non-starter, these people can't be trusted? He should have listened to himself. He knew. He knew they couldn't be trusted. He made the argument. He said, they kill our negotiators. They did it before the Iran war even started. They did it last June when they bombed Qatar, bombed the negotiating teams there. Like, this guy's like, yeah, it's not worth it to try and negotiate with America, despite knowing that, despite his reservations, despite being aware that he couldn't trust the Americans in Israel, he still entered into negotiations, ostensibly because he actually genuinely wants peace for his country, and Israel kills him. And again, I'm sort of just horrified at the number of people that hear this type of stuff and are like, well, they shouldn't have messed with us then. And again, it's like, do you not understand that this is all literally against your interests? This is against your direct interests. They are creating a situation in which Iran is more extreme than before, more like insane than before, like less, you know, bound by, you know, international law or anything like that. I mean, you know, you're creating another ISIS. They're not going to care about anything. More likely that they're going to get a nuclear weapon, more likely that a nuclear power gets involved and helps him get a nuclear weapon, someone like Russia or China or Pakistan or anybody around them that has nukes, that might feel like they're getting the short end of the stick and want to swoop in. There's probably going to be massive amounts of migrants at the end of all of this that will flood into Europe and probably take it over completely. That's if they don't start World War III in the meantime, start the draft and totally wipe out whatever remnant remains of the native population of those countries. So I really don't know what else to tell you, but like, this doesn't benefit anybody. And it's not a good thing. I'm trying to think of like a metaphor or something where it's just what you're doing is diametrically opposed to your own interest. But like, you just can't see that. And I'll open up the phone calls, the phone lines for your calls in the third hour. But the call from a character today on American Journal arguing with Rex. And I was convinced he was a troll. But then you remember, like, no, there's some people that are just like that. And just literally are like, it doesn't matter to them. There's like, but America's kicking ass. It's like, but not really. But every ass we kick is just us going further down the path of destruction. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter, I guess. Same thing. Argument I was getting is like, you idiot, they're going to take Iran's oil. And then last night, Trump gives a speech where he's like, we don't even want the oil and we're not taking it. Okay. So every single thing ever claimed about the Iran war in the positive has been fake. Everything. Oil spikes as Trump vows to hit Iran extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks, threatens to send it back to the Stone Age. And they keep saying this phrase, back to the Stone Age. Pete Hegseth said the same thing, back to the Stone Age, where they belong. Like, yeah, you're just horrible people. But interestingly, as a fan of history and words and etymology, thought we'd figure out where this phrase came from. History News Network has an etymology for the phrase bombing them back to the Stone Age. Just after 9/11, the United States allegedly threatened to bomb Pakistan, quote, back to the Stone Age, unless it joined the war in terror. In his forthcoming book, Pakistani leader Pervez Musharraf attributes that ultimatum to Richard Armitage, who flatly denies it. Now, Richard Armitage, you may remember the name, Richard Armitage, he was the fifth of the five members of the Council of Five, along with George H.W. Bush and William Lansdale and Lieutenant General Ferrara, William Colby, and a few others. This was the seed council that started the deep state. All right, so in Vietnam, when the CIA was trying to basically overthrow countries and doing a bunch of stuff they're not legally allowed to do, they were running into trouble because Congress controlled their purse strings and so therefore had oversight over whatever they were doing. So if they wanted to overthrow a country, they had to go to Congress and say, hey, we're trying to overthrow a country, we're trying to assassinate somebody. And that was inconvenient because Congress wasn't always okay with, you know, breaking international law for the benefit of the cabal. So they decided to make their own money separately. So they wanted to create a drug running operation. They recruited five people, each with a specific skill that they needed. It actually made kind of a good like Ocean's 11 heist movie. only would star George H.W. Bush, who was called Poppy, by the way. Like, you know his nickname was Poppy, right? That's because he was in charge of running Poppy from China. He had all the connections in China. He was a pilot. They set up a fake Eric. Anyway, you should know all. The point is, you should recognize the name Richard Armitage as being George H.W. Bush, so-called quote-unquote gopher. He was the right-hand man to George H.W. Bush, was with him in the CIA, helped to establish the drug-running operation, and, of course, still held a position of power in the George W. Bush White House several decades later. So apparently he came up with this phrase to saying bomb Pakistan back to the Stone Age, but actually comes from an earlier time. The quote is actually usually attributed to Curtis LeMay, the scowling Air Force general who incinerated two-thirds of Japan's cities in World War II and was disappointed when Kennedy wouldn't let him do the same in Cuba. In his 1968 memoir, he suggested that rather than negotiating with the Hanoi, the United States should, quote, bomb them back to the Stone Age by taking out factories, harbors, bridges, quote, until we have destroyed every work of man in North Vietnam. So I just think it's kind of an interesting, historical parallel that, in fact, the phrase bomb them back to the Stone Age harkens back to the last outrageous quagmire that actually kind of permanently broke American society, the Vietnam War, the ridiculous boondoggle that represents probably the greatest foreign policy failure in American history was itself, the strategy was centered on bombing them back to the Stone Age. So it's interesting that they're referencing back to this other quagmire, this other failed exercise of American imperialism, the Vietnam War, to describe the Iran War. That's just fascinating, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? So again, the headline from AOL, U.S. and Israel literally blow up Vance's peace talks after strike on Iran negotiator's home. Donald Trump's peace talks with Iran may have blown up after the U.S.-Israeli strikes seriously injured a key figure in the Iranian regime on Wednesday. Iran's former foreign minister, I believe, Kamal Karazi, who'd been helping organize a meeting with J.D. Vance aimed at helping to end the war, was injured when a residential building in Tehran was struck. According to local reports, Iranian officials have called the joint U.S.-Israeli strikes an attempt to derail diplomacy. And it worked. And tell you what, I bet literally any other Iranian negotiator that wants to make a deal, they probably don't want to make a deal anymore. You literally keep killing everybody that wants to make a deal. Or Israel keeps killing everybody who makes a deal, and then Trump takes credit for it. You explain it to me. Meanwhile, U.S. and Israel are bombing bridges and medical institutes in Iran and calling it victory. The Pasteur Institute of Iran hit today in strikes is far more than just a building. It's a century-old pillar of global health and the oldest medical research center in West Asia. Founded in 1920 in collaboration with the Pasteur Institute of Paris, it spent over 100 years combating outbreaks such as rabies, smallpox, and cholera. As a leading hub for vaccine production, including BCG and hepatitis B, the institute represents the height of Iranian scientific advancement in humanitarian service. The World Health Organization also verified that it was among at least 13 health infrastructure sites hit during the U.S.-Israel war. Targeting a facility dedicated to preventing disease and developing life-saving medicine strikes at the core of Iran's public health infrastructure. In the same wave of attacks, the B-1 bridge in Alborz, officially named the Ibrahim Razi Bridge or Razi Bridge, was recognized as the tallest bridge in the Middle East and was also targeted. Standing 136 meters high and stretching over a kilometer across the Karaj River Valley, it was designed to alleviate one of Iran's most severe civilian challenges, the traffic bottleneck between Tehran and Karaj. By linking the Northern Karaj Freeway, the bridge was meant to ease daily commutes. And we bombed it. The nature of these attacks reflects the U.S. and Israel's real objective of systematically degrading Iran by targeting its logistical and medical backbone. The B-1 bridge, developed with the involvement of the Qatam al-Anbaya construction headquarters, stood as a symbol of advanced engineering aimed at modernizing transport. And we just bombed it to hell. So again, I ask you, like, what would be the argument against Iran bombing our bridges? I mean, we are direct war. I mean, it would be a little different if we at least had that minimal, mask of Ukraine, right? Because we allow Ukraine to, like, bomb Russia, but we feel kind of safe doing that because it's like, well, that's Ukraine doing it. If they get hit, oh, well. But it's all our intelligence and it's all our everything. The point is that by behaving in this utterly brutal and unstrategic way, and this may be the point. I mean, the point may be to cause blowback to America. There's not really any other reason. It's not going to drive people away from the regime. It's, they aren't storing nuclear waste in the bridge, right? And this just has nothing to do with any of the proclaimed goals of the war, because every outcome of this type of attack is only negative for America. And if you think that we as America should just be allowed to go around and bomb civilians all over the world and that we shouldn't expect any blowback, you're living in fantasy world. That's not how it works. Something called natural law. Fair is fair, right? We are opening this can of worms for no reason. There's no value to this. There's no strategic importance to the sites we're hitting. 600 schools have been bombed by America directly on Israel. Our bombs, not Israel's bombs that we gave them, not Ukrainian bombs that we facilitate. Our bombs from Americans dropping them. I again just say that, like, the one thing I think keeping America, the American homeland, from being attacked right now is the fact that Americans are against this war and that Iran knows that. And they seem to actually be behaving in a strategic way. It's just like in Iran. If something in America got attacked and American civilians got attacked, the obvious and immediate result would be a massive push for more war in Iran, massive support for Trump. I mean, it would really benefit Iran's enemies if they attacked infrastructure. It's the same with us, only we're doing it. Only we are attacking that infrastructure. And it may be trying to piss Iran off because, you know, the people in America also know that the war is unpopular. They also want an attack on Americans. And they might not be confident enough they could pull off a false flag attack. They might be running the simulations and going, man, we could do a false flag attack. We could bomb a hospital in America and blame it on Iran, but nobody would believe it. Maybe the only way to do this is to actually get Iran to attack by actually provoking them, by actually just bombing their civilians in terror raids continuously, trying to get them to respond in kind. So just, if you're a Christian, you understand, treat others as you like to be treated. Would you like to have your hospital bombed? Hmm? I mean, this is how I talk to my, you know, 5 and 3-year-old. Do you like it when somebody just comes out of nowhere and hits you in the head with a toy for no reason? No, don't do it to other people, okay? Okay, children? So let's sit down with the U.S. military and say, we don't want our hospitals targeted by Iran, and there's no reason to bomb their hospitals. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you deliberately collapsing a country of 90 million people with no strategic point at all? People asking, is Trump planning a ground invasion of Iran on Good Friday? Certainly would fit the modus operandi. President Trump has suggested he could walk away from Iran and leave other nations to police the Strait of Hormuz, threatening that America, quote, won't be there to help you anymore. Traditional allies of the U.S. told one day that he does not need them, another day taunted his cowards, and then told they should hurry up and, quote, go to the Strait, are wondering how to respond or whether Trump is playing a different game altogether. This also, by the way, is not as naturally occurring as I think people want to believe either. I think all of this is actually motivated in, like, actually destroying Europe. Like, we're sad about what's happening in Europe because we love Europe, right? I love the people of Europe. I want Europe to survive. I want it to be like the archival videos of old, you know, all the way back in, like, the early 2000s before it was destroyed and it just looked nice and pleasant and fun, and now it's just taken over by radical Islam. So we kind of make fun of Europe. We kind of tease Europe because they're weenies. They're a bunch of weenies over there, a bunch of socialist nap takers. Wouldn't know a hard day's work if it bit them in the butt. But that's all in good fun, and we actually love Europe and want Europe to survive and thrive and to free itself from the shackles of globalism that are destroying it. But as you read about people talking about NATO and talking about Europe helping us in Iran, there comes through this seething vitriol that I think is not healthy and is not – this isn't your classic, like, Americana, like, yeah, we're going to kick butt and those dumb Europeans don't know how to take care of themselves. Like, that's not what this is. This is something else. This is like, let's hamper and destroy Europe. And everything that's destroyed Europe has come from America. I mean, the climate change agenda, that's an American invention. And that's why they're struggling. That's why they can't, you know, keep food on the table, keep their energy up. The Middle East wars that created the migrant crisis, like America and the people that run America have been using America to destroy Europe for a while. And it seems like they're using Trump now, this whole, and again, all of this stuff is, how do I put it? It's just the monkey paw. Actually, it really is the monkey paw. It really, that is just the best explanation for this. President Monkey Paw. Because, like, we want the UN to go away. We don't think the UN serves a valuable purpose. I mean, if the UN served a purpose at all, you would think it would be to protect people like the people in Gaza. Like, if there was a reason for the UN to exist, it was what Israel's been doing for the last 2.5 years, and they have done nothing. So it's like, why does it even exist? It does less than nothing. It really just gives you an outlet for people who think they're doing something. Oh, they charged Netanyahu with war crimes and genocide. And it's like, okay, well, nobody will do anything about it, so it doesn't really matter. It's just an exercise in futility. So then it's Trump like, you know, we're going to get rid of the UN. And we're all like, good, finally. And he's like, yeah, we're going to replace it with the Board of Peace. We're going to replace it with a technocratic, unelected, you know, permanent tyranny that's going to use Palantir to circumvent national law and just impose control through corporations. And it's like, well, that is a monkey paw result if I've ever seen one. Same thing with NATO. I don't like NATO. I don't think we need to be the babysitters for Western Europe. It's not an important or valuable use of our money or our resources or our lives. So like, yeah, we're going to get rid of NATO so we can destroy Europe. And it's like, okay, what the hell? We don't want Europe destroyed. These people do. A lot of these people do. And by the way, just like the plan I laid out for you yesterday, it's gone mainstream. Risky commando plan to seize Iran's uranium came at Trump's request. It's exactly like I told you, and that the bombing campaign so far from America seemed to be trying to create a corridor so that a small number of commandos can go in and seize the uranium, because that would be a big Hollywood-style success story that you could play up and act like represents the ultimate victory of this necessary war. But it might not go that well. But it does appear as though that speculation I was reading to you yesterday has been borne out in the actual information. I'm going to move on, but here's probably the most important headline yet out of Reuters. A war meant to break Iran could leave Tehran stronger and the Gulf exposed. Yep, obviously. So again, it's like, okay, all of the goals Trump laid out, we haven't achieved. Anything you hear from anybody supporting this war has been just eviscerated over the last 24 hours. We're not taking the oil. We haven't mitigated their threat of a nuclear weapon. We haven't opened the Strait of Hormuz and might not ever open it. They're probably going to pursue nuclear weaponry even, you know, faster than they ever have before. The regime is probably going to have more control than they've ever had before. So whether you believe these goals or not, it's all wrong. None of it's happening.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors, because they really work, and I'll tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis, but not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. And then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap, through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bolivine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time, so all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. The big health guy, you're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, folks. By the way, I haven't plugged once today. It's very stupid of me. We only get support when you go to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. And we have so many great reasons for you to go there and shop and get a fantastic product and help to keep us on the air. And I don't know. I was getting in arguments yesterday on X. It's Twitter drama. It's not important news, but it's interesting what people think about InfoWars. It's interesting the fantasies that they experience in their own heads about who we are and what we do. It's very strange. It's very strange. What I do is not all that complicated. I sit up here, I read the news, I show you videos, I take calls, I try to tell you the truth. And if you think that's valuable, I hope you can support us. We tell you exactly what's actually happening and try to discredit the lies and uplift the truth. And in exchange, we ask you go get a fantastic product at thealexjonesstore.com that you'll benefit from anyway. Very simple. Very, very simple. Meanwhile, everybody's got their own little pet theory about what we're really up to, what's really happening, who's really pulling the strings, where we really get our support. It's like, y'all, You know the court proceedings are public, right? You know that if you actually were curious about InfoWars, our entire, just everything about us has been, you know, literally adjudicated. You can find, and it's all public. It's all the evidence out there. It's public. If you want to go find anything about it, it's out there. You don't think that in there going through all of our finances with a fine-tooth comb, they would have discovered any sort of foreign investment, anything like that? It's interesting because I understand that almost every other right-wing outlet is corrupt or controlled or perverted in some way. InfoWars is as pure as the driven snow. I don't know how we could be any more pure. Just 100%. And I know people listening to me, I would think, understand that, because it's clear that people who don't like InfoWars literally have no idea who we are and what we do. But they don't like us. Oh, they're convinced that they're the authority on us. Never watched a show, and it's abundantly clear they've never watched a show. And then you've got other people, and just the reason this is in my mind is because there's this one comment in particular that was like something about InfoWars was only good while they were riding the MAGA train, and now that they can't, you know, milk that for all it's worth, then they're failing. And it's like, y'all, we are, first of all, more popular than we've ever been before, bigger than we've ever been, even though we've had a albatross around our neck, even though we've been weighed down, we've had like lead weights tied to our ankles for the last 5 years, we still are winning. I couldn't find it, but somebody posted a graph of Ben Shapiro's popularity on YouTube. It's gone completely down. Nobody watches him anymore. And this is a guy who's all, you know, sponsors and partnerships, and he's going on mainstream media, and YouTube is pushing his stuff, and they're still failing. InfoWars, they're stepping on our neck. They're kicking us off of all the platforms. We're still winning. We still succeed. We still thrive because we have this super secret weapon called the American people and the AlexJonesStore.com. As long as the American people go to the AlexJonesStore.com, or the people around the world go to the AlexJonesStore.com for their free gift included in all orders, for their massive discounts, for the incredible products that you should be getting anyway, even if it's not from us. This stuff is really good. We just happen to have the best possible quality in the best possible prices. And you support us on top of it. But like, do people not know? Do we? And this is the thing. I don't like bragging, and I don't think people like hearing people bragging, but this isn't bragging. I literally feel like I have to explain to people who have this misconception about InfoWars. It's like, we've been around for 30 years. We were around for 20 years before Donald Trump even showed up on the scene. And Donald Trump was made by us, not the other way around. Alex Jones made Donald Trump, not vice versa. We were against the war in Iraq, and we were right. We were exposing COVID, and we were right. We were against transgenderism and identity politics long before these words even entered into the American vocabulary, and we were right. And we've been right every time, and we're right now. So I don't know where this idea comes from that, like, I don't know, we're tied at the hip to MAGA or to Trump, but clearly it's people not watching the show. So thank you to everybody who actually does watch the show, who actually does understand where we're coming from and what we're doing here, and who supports us, because without you, we really will go away. We really will. And so the ball is in your court, folks. If you want us to stay on air, if you want us to be here to provide the platform that we do for the facts that we deliver, you got to go to thealexjonesstore.com. We have changed the world. We have permanently altered the landscape of information in America in a way that will never be reversed, never be undone, never be put back in the bottle, okay? And we will continue to do that. We will continue to be out on the forefront. And, you know, that's why I'm thinking about the three-party thing, because it's just obvious right now that we need something, that something needs to happen. I don't know if it's a third party or whatever else, but everybody on our side is sort of looking around going, okay, what's next? Because we've been betrayed by Trump. MAGA has been taken over by Israel and is no longer fit for purpose. The Republican Party is dependent entirely on out-of-touch boomers who are brainwashed daily by Fox News. So we need something new, and it sure as hell ain't communism. It sure as hell ain't socialism. We need to recapture the American spirit. I think everybody sort of gets that there's a big vacuum to be filled right now, and it needs to be us. It needs to be us to fill it. We just need to figure out what to fill it with. Is it a third party? Is it a grassroots movement? Is it a separatist movement? I don't know. I'm sort of open to anything, but we need to be thinking about this, and we need to be plotting the future, because if we don't, somebody else will. You don't seize the initiative, then you're operating on somebody else's script, and we don't really do that very much. Ben Shapiro is losing 20,000 subscribers from his YouTube channel each month, according to Social Blade. So again, these are people who, you know, claim that InfoWars has done literally more popular than ever before. It's like astonishing how, you know, successful we've been recently. Not that we get to enjoy that, because we're still under bankruptcy proceedings. That'll change soon, and then you'll really see the rocket take off. So anyway, I don't want to ramble too much, but, and again, not even to brag, but like, it's just, it's a bummer to know that the media campaigns, the smear campaigns against InfoWars have been so effective with many people on the right as well, who again, just say things that just make it clear that they are just completely ignorant of InfoWars. And the reason why it's like sticking with me is because there's stuff, like there was a guy yesterday who was like, said something about, well, first of all, there was somebody that was like, we know what's really happening. Every segment you do is scripted. Every caller is an actor. And it's like, thank you for the compliment. Thank you. You know, I don't know if it's really that convincing. Do you think that this is scripted? Do you think that I'm not just talking extemporaneously here? Do you think there's a teleprompter? Do you think that we even have time to script stuff? I mean, the crew just comes in and delivers me stories and I read them live on air. Like, it's just all straight up front. So this is the thing. I'm just like, I don't even know how they would come up with this idea. It's all scripted, the caller. Like, okay, if you think the callers are fake, why don't you call in? Why don't I give out the number and you can call in and you can see for yourself if we screen callers or if we tell people what to say. You can do it yourself. You can find all this stuff up yourself. This is the strange part, is people just are ignorant, and then they just fill up the vacuum of their ignorance with fantasy and then walk around telling their fantasy as if it's real. Yeah, it's crazy. It's stuff like that. There's another guy talking about, he's like, InfoWars debates, they saying something about how we like rig debates. I'm like, we don't even have debates. What are you talking about? Occasionally we'll you know, have an interview that's sort of framed as a debate, but you know, I think we've had maybe one or two actual debates with like Destiny, but like, even how, you know, but it's just funny, because it's like you're claiming that we are corrupt in doing something that we don't even do the thing. We don't have debate. What are you talking about? We should have more debates. We will have more debates. But it's just funny to me that people are like, InfoWars rigs their debates. We don't even do debates. What are you talking about? What? Like, I did the Flat Earth debate, but that was just me and him. Like, there was no moderator, and I gave him plenty of time. I treated him as well as anybody could ask, right? So anyway, it's frustrating being, like, literally the only outlet that exists that is just totally unencumbered by any ulterior motive or pressure or anything. And it's just me and you. You know, it's me and the audience, and I just try to tell you the truth, because I assume that's what you want. I assume you don't want me lying to you about things that make you feel good, right? I assume that the value I add is that I can tell you the truth and have a platform to tell a truth that nobody else will tell, even if it's obvious, right? I don't know. It's all very strange. It's all very strange. Yeah, quarter. Whatever. I don't want to get into Twitter drama. It doesn't actually mean anything, but it is sort of indicative of the wider delusions at play. That one was a weird one. I literally invite the guy on to debate, and he thinks I'm attacking him. I'm like, what? It's weird. Rex wants to debate quartering, and I'm like, I'll host. Quartering, you in? And he's just like, why are you attacking me? Okay, man. Sorry. Sensitive boy. Okay. Should we... I do have more to talk about. I have infinite things to talk about when it comes to Iran, but I want to move on. But at the same time, it's like involved in everything else, right? So, you know, I've got things like this. Clip 41 here. This is Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, talking about, you know, why Iran is so bad, why it's worth it to go to war with them, you know, having the classic and oft-repeated example of the fact that Iran, just like Hamas, by the way, you know, doesn't spend money on their people. They spend money on war and how tragic and bad and evil that is. That's why we're at war with them. Let's listen to Marco Rubio say it.
And at the end of the day, I think that if there are people in Iran who now, given everything that's happened, are willing to move in a different direction for their country, that would be great. Imagine an Iran that instead of spending their wealth, billions of dollars supporting terrorists or weapons, had spent that money helping the people of Iran, you'd have a much different country. So we are always hopeful that that would exist over there.
Good point. It's a good point. It's very interesting. You know, these evil Iranians spending money on war rather than their own people. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to war with somebody like that? Anyway, here's Trump yesterday.
Don't send any money for daycare because the United States can't take care of daycare.
Oh, right.
That has to be up to a state. We can't take care of daycare. We're a big country. We have 50 states. We have all these other people. We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. You got to let a state take care of daycare, and they should pay for it, too. They should pay. They have to raise their taxes, but they should pay for it. And we could lower our taxes a little bit to them to make up. But it's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things, they can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to take care of one thing, military protection. We have to guard the country. But all these little things, all these little scams that have taken place, you have to let states take care of them, Russell, and you have to do it.
You know, like, there's a couple things about it. It's like, okay, so we're going to war with Iran because they're so evil because they spend money on war and not their people. Only we can't spend money on our people because we have to spend money on the war against Iran. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. I also, you know, my interpretation of what he just said was he's like, it shouldn't be the federal government's job to take care of it. It absolutely is the federal government's job to take care of it, not to provide daycare, but to punish the people scamming the daycare centers. What's happening right here is like, does he not know this? There's a story today about California, but like Minnesota is the obvious example, but the state employees are the ones doing the fraud. They're the ones doing the fraud. So it seems like this is Trump getting frustrated at the fact that people are bugging his DOJ to go after fraud. That was my interpretation of his statement right there. I don't even think that was about him being like, we don't want to pay for daycare. And these people going, hey, this fraud is destroying our country. And he's going, that's up to the states to do. I'm starting wars with Iran. I'm spending $200 billion to make Iran more dangerous, okay? I don't have time to go after fraud. Like, is my obligation as the head law enforcement chief executive of the country? Am I wrong? Because, like, originally when I watched that clip, all I saw was the, you know, we're not paying for daycare part. But I don't think he was talking about paying for daycare there. He's talking about it's not the federal government's job to stop states from being defrauded. But when you're in Minnesota and the governor is involved and the attorney general, who would be the one at the state level to charge fraud, is in fact caught on hidden recording collaborating with the fraudsters and saying in no uncertain terms that he would make sure to stop the investigation into the fraudsters in exchange for support from the Somali community, that is a federal crime. Like, the federal government is now the superior authority that can come in and lay down the law. So, like, this is why nothing's getting done. So this is even, again, and, you know, Trump's made other statements. Like, they're like, yeah, we're going to have to get rid of all these, like, you know, good things for Americans because, you know, we want to focus on the war. And for some reason, they think this is like a midterm argument. They're like, for midterms, we're going to really promote the you know, military funding side of things. And it's like, so again, ridiculous. Oh, it's exactly the right amount. Providing universal child care would be $200 billion. Look at that. What do you know? But of course, we could afford absolutely everything. I mean, we could live in paradise if we just enforced basic law and stopped ourselves from being just systematically bankrupted at every pass. And once again, is this not like, can we not make some agreements here? Can we not come to some understandings with people across the aisle? I don't think it's the government's job to provide childcare. But tell you what, you want to have a childcare program similar to somewhere like Finland, right? You want to provide every new mother with a crib and the stuff she needs for the first year, you know, maybe a nurse that she can, you know, have at her beck and call to help her. Like, all right, tell you what, we'll provide basic childcare as just a, you know, general service for the betterment of the society, not my favorite thing, but I'm willing to accept that. In exchange, can we shut the border? Like, can we make these deals? Can these types of deals possibly be made? Do we have the ability to both support the American people and enforce American laws? Or are we stuck in the false dichotomy that says you either have to be a heartless warmonger or a bleeding heart retard liberal? Can we shatter this paradigm for once and all? Please, for the love of God, for the sake of our country and the continuing existence of our people, can we do normal things? Just normal things. Starting a war in Iran with no purpose or end goal, that's not a normal thing to do. That's a very abnormal thing to do. What would be normal would be the government enforcing laws, the government maybe providing, you know, basic welfare for people actually in need. Can we, could we, is it possible that we could come together on this? Of course not. Why would it? Well, how could we? How could we when the left seems to see any vulnerability in our system as an excuse to just rob everyone and destroy everything? So, yeah, Trump says it's not possible for the U.S. to pay for Medicare, Medicaid, and daycare. We're fighting wars. But they're also not taking care of the veterans. They're also cutting off a lot of veteran benefits right now. So they'll get people injured or killed in the war, and then they'll be on their own because we just don't have money to deal with the consequences of our actions. So again, I mean, it's just, it's all tied in together. Because we have, you know, what's going on in California with just massive, unrelenting and outrageous fraud. Gavin Newsom's empire of fraud. The roads are crumbling. Mismanaged wildfires have turned neighborhoods into ash. Drug addiction and homelessness have metastasized, turning parts of Los Angeles and San Francisco into no-go zones. And the cost of living crisis is pricing middle-class taxpayers out of basic necessities like groceries and gas. Even as the state spends billions on welfare programs that never seem to lift anyone out of poverty. Californians are beginning to ask, where is all this money going? On paper, it funds hospitals, universities, schools, prisons, infrastructure, and other public services. But beneath the surface, something else is happening that California Governor Gavin Newsom does not want you to see. Massive, systemic, brazen fraud. We conducted interviews with public officials, fraud experts, and political figures. We reviewed hundreds of pages of government reports, state audits, criminal indictments, and other public records on California fraud, from unemployment insurance to Medicaid to failed homelessness initiatives and welfare programs. Seemingly every state program has been compromised by criminals. The best estimate suggests that, on the governor's watch, fraudsters, scammers, and organized crime rings have stolen at least $180 billion from taxpayers. Welcome to Gavin Newsom's empire of fraud. And it goes on to explain that the people who are committing this fraud are just the very people who are in charge of the programs. So, of course, they're not going to actually do anything about it. That's why we need the government, federal government, to step in and hold these people to account. But we won't. So it'll just keep going. And I guess we'll be outraged about it. And occasionally one fraudster might be arrested and they'll, you know, have to return 1/100th of the money they stole. Slap on the wrist. You're free to go. That's basically where we're at. And it is a very, very damaging thing. The problem is that even when we're being robbed to no end, even when our government is basically entirely designed just to rob from the rich and give to the poor, and not in a beneficent way, I should say, rob from the productive and give to the unproductive. It's not good enough, and it will never be good enough for the lefties. Let's go to clip number 16, where we can see Zoram Mamdani being consumed by his own revolution. Let's watch.
We all voted for you because you promised to stand with working people and end the abusive 24-hour workday.
We have to end the 24-hour workday.
Mamdani, cumple tu promesa.
Zoram, it is now week 3 of home care workers sitting in. Why have you said nothing?
Instead, you're parroting the racist, sexist lie that immigrant women choose 24-hour workdays.
No!
So they get paid to stay home. There's no 24-hour workday. This is subsidies that says that if you have an elderly person in your home, you can be paid to watch them and provide elder care. And so they basically want more money for that. It'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. It'll never be good enough because these people are awful. Let's go to clip number 39. Here's the decent people that this all falls down to. Let's watch.
I feel like only in America can you need medical assistance that you can't afford to get. And in order to get government help, you have to make under a certain amount. So if you're someone who's like makes $60,000, actually afford to get your. But if I quit my job and I go work for McDonald's, I can live off the government and then she can have the help that she needs. Make it make sense. Make it make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But it's set up that way. $60,000. She says she makes $60,000 a year. It's not easy to survive on $60,000 a year with a family in an American city. She's not rolling in the dough. She is lower, barely middle income in America, which means she gets screwed by absolutely everybody in every different way. The rich get all the subsidy they can handle through their corporate cronyism. The poor get everything paid for. Don't have to do anything to supply it. It's the decent, normal, productive, average American that is constantly screwed from every direction, on purpose, by design, because they hate us. It's not complicated.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.